We're going to have a look at the first chapter, the first eight verses of the first chapter in the book of Acts this morning. Let me just read that to you. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to look at these words from your word. We just pray that you might open our minds so that we can understand the scriptures. So we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the sun is out. The daffodils are starting to come into bloom, aren't they? And if you're like me, at the first sign of spring every year, you kind of begin to feel all the call, don't you? The call of the garden centre. So last week, I went together with Jane, my wife, to Whitehall's garden centre. It's a great big, huge, thumping, well-stocked garden centre. It's like a kind of, I don't know what it is, a gardening city, really. And when we went there, well, you know, you can really get in the mood, can't you, walking around a place like that. And as I walked around and began to look at all the stuff that was on sale there, in my little Walter Mitty mind, I was conjuring up this kind of persona of, I became Bob Titmarsh. However, as you well know, when you come to do gardening, you need the right tools for the job, and boy, are Whitehall's Garden Centre ready to supply them. I had a look first at the sit-on mowers. Whoa, you know, that's a real splendid toy for the adult male, isn't it? The trouble is that, well, we don't have any grass in our garden. We've kind of got a small paved backyard. So I moved on to the vegetable section, where I thought to myself, yes, we could grow our own veg and become self-sufficient. And of course, vegetables don't grow in concrete either. So how was I going to be able to express my newfound gardening passion? Then it came to me. Some nice new gardening gloves for myself. So I picked some up, a fine pair of professional looking, well, it said on the packet they were professional gardening gloves. And I thought, well, they might make me look professional as I tiptoe on my concrete backyard. And actually, as I was looking at these gloves, again, my mind started to wander to my first TV appearance, The Gardening Vicar. Then the follow-up book, Church Plants, an agricultural perspective. When suddenly a voice came from behind me, "Bob, put them back, you don't do any gardening." My beloved of 23 years, Those were gloves for gardeners, and I'd just been having them for the sake of it. Because, you see, yes, you do need the right tools for the job. But gardening wasn't really a job that I'm interested in doing that much of. But for us Christians, there is a job to be done, isn't there? A God-ordained job. That's why I find this opening section of the book of Acts so exciting. Luke lays out the job to be done for us. Now, in the first verse, you might catch it said, in my former book, Theophilus. Of course, it's Luke writing. The former book was the Gospel of Luke. And I thought maybe we should just start there for a couple of minutes before we come on to the follow-up, the sequel, the book of Acts. What's going on in the last book, the last few chapters of the book of Luke? Well, chapter 23, Jesus is crucified. He's dead. Turn the page. Chapter 24. Oh, no, he isn't. He was. But now he's alive. And he's active. And he's doing stuff. So you start chapter 24, the final chapter, in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus appears in the garden to the ladies and then to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember, he explains to them about the Bible. They don't immediately recognize who he is, but something in their hearts kind of burns as Jesus talks about the Bible, which is all about him. And then, of course, you get him revealing himself to the rest of the disciples. The resurrection, the risen Lord, explaining the Bible, and then giving a task, giving the job. Here's what he says in Luke chapter 24. I'll read it to you. Then Jesus opened their minds, that's the disciples, so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what's written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. That's the job, to be his witnesses. And it's picked up in today's reading on verse 8 of chapter 1 in Acts. To tell others who Jesus is, And what he's done for them. And you know, the truth is, it's because those first Christians heard that job and took it seriously that in our church today, more than 2,000 years later, we're baptizing young Christians. How cool is that? Thank God that they grabbed that job all those years ago and ran with it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So witnessing to who Christ is and to what he's done. If that's the job, then I wonder this morning, what are the right tools for it? Because yes, we do need the right tools for the job. If that's our job, our God-given job, then what are the tools that we need to get the job done? Well, I'm going to suggest to you this morning, there actually are three tools that we need to get God's job done here on earth. Number one, we need to have an experience of the risen Jesus in our lives and to be in a right relationship with him. You know, the words, he's alive, those words just leap off, they shout out from the pages of this Bible reading this morning. And from that last chapter in Luke's Gospel. He's really alive. Jesus is walking with them. He's talking. He's even eating with them. This Jesus is alive. Luke wants to leave us with no doubt that the risen Lord was alive in their midst in those New Testament times. And that's sort of true today, isn't it? If Jesus is not a living reality in our lives, then we haven't really got anything to pass on, have we? He needs to be really real to me. He needs to be really real to you. And I'm talking about an up-to-date experience. I mean, some of you know I spent some time in London where we saw a church just blast alive in growth and stuff. But I don't want to tell you about that. That was then. You know, I've come from Africa and we saw God kind of planting churches and new buildings. But I don't want to tell you about that. That's yesterday's news. You don't want to hear that. You want to hear what God's doing in Alma, don't you? You want to hear what happened to me on Tuesday, don't you? On Tuesday, I went with my pal Anthony at lunchtime. We went down to have a look at a keyboard in a local keyboard shop just down the road from here. And on Tuesday, we get there, and this bloke who works for the Roland Sound Corporation starts to expound the beauty of his Roland equipment. As we got to more expensive ones, so correspondingly, his enthusiasm raised. Until he actually got quite beside himself when we got to one that was nearly about £4,000, which we didn't buy, but it was there. He said, you know, the special thing about this, he said, is that it's got new technology. I thought it looks like a piano to me. It's got new technology, he says. This keyboard has a new technology called supernatural voicing. Promise you. He said, this keyboard has supernatural voice. I said, it's funny you say that. I said, we got that in our church. He said, oh, I could do with a bit of that in my life. It might make it easier. So I said, why don't you come to our church? So where do you live? He said, Clifton. I said, that's where it is. I told him about Alma Church. Let me tell you, when John prints those leaflets for our guest service, one of those is going to be stuffed in his hand. That's the Lord at work, isn't it? Kind of opening a conversation and stuff. That's today's news. That's what you want, isn't it? You want to know about Peckham or Africa. You want to know about Alma. That's what we need, my friends. We need an up-to-date experience in our lives of the living, ascended, glorified Lord. Now, we want today's news. That's the first thing. Number two of the three things that we need to get the job done is we need to have an understanding of the scriptures. We need to know what the good news is if we're going to share it. Number three, we need to have an infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. We need the power of God in us and at work in the hearts and minds of those with whom we share the truth about Jesus. And actually, you can see each one of those three things there in the closing chapter of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. They encounter the living, risen Jesus, don't they? He explains the scriptures to them. That's number two. And number three, he tells them to wait until you're clothed with power, until you've received the gift, until you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. There you go. Bang, bang, bang. That's biblical. So why are so many churches stuck in a rut? So many evangelical churches stuck in a rut, sort of doing the right things, but not really witnessing effectively and not really growing. You know, one thing that I learnt from the Garden Centre was that healthy things grow. I think that's true of churches, isn't it? Healthy things grow. Well, let me tell you this. I think that if there is a problem like that, the problem in an evangelical church wouldn't be number two. We know what the gospel is in evangelical. We've been well taught. We know what it is. It's not number two. What's missing in the first instance, I put to you, is a fresh, living, vibrant, up-to-date faith. It may have happened once in the past when they very first believed, but that was then. And somehow the passing of time has let a few spiritual cobwebs appear. A bit of silt appear. And it can happen to us very slowly over the course of time. Our spiritual verve can get, smothered by by life, by doing the right things. And it's at times like that that you and I need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit of God to fan into flame the embers of our spiritual life so that we can burn brightly for Jesus once again in a dark world. We need first to have a personal Pentecost and then to have a public Pentecost and go change the world in his name. And I wonder this morning, do you need a fresh experience of the risen Christ in your life? Do you need a fresh experience of the living Christ in your life? How's number one doing? If you do, then here's something you can do. After the service, we're going to have over those, so you'll have to get out of those seats unless you want more of Jesus, in which case stay put. That's going to be a place where you can go and have some prayer. If you're a visitor here, come and have some prayer. If you're regular, go have some prayer. Someone will pray with you. Just not to tell you what to do. They'll just pray with you that you might have a reawakening, a re-spiritual awakening of your own relationship with Jesus. And there'll be a ministry team there, and there'll be the leadership team there too. They'll be over there to pray with you and to pray for you. Do that after the service. Go over there and do some business with God. Get the old flames going brightly for Jesus. And once you've got that, a vibrant experience of the living, risen Christ, you can then grab his gospel and take it out into the world in the power of his Holy Spirit. In the 24th chapter of Luke, it says, stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Wait! Don't do anything. Wait until you're empowered. And in our reading this morning, the Lord tells his disciples again that they're going to be empowered. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So these early followers of Christ, they do what they're told. They take Jesus at his word. They wait. And sure enough, in God's time, the power of the Holy Spirit falls upon them mightily, and the church is born. How exciting is that? The church is born. And we're still in it. How cool is that? But that was then. That was then. That's Bible stuff. That's in the history of the church. That's New Testament stuff. Some people say, you know, that was just for New Testament times. That was then. And I'm going to surprise you now. I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. That was for the New Testament church. I agree with that because, my friends, we're still in the New Testament. You are the New Testament church. We are that church. Yes, absolutely. We're still in the New Testament. It hasn't come to an end. And the risen, glorified, ascended Jesus is still here to empower his people as much as he ever was. And it's one of the tools of the job. Without it, we can't get the job done. There is a reason why in the first 8 verses of the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 3 times. Actually, you could rename the book, The Acts of the Holy Spirit. And the power of God is an exciting thing. It's an exciting, it's an attractive thing. It's a crucial thing. Next, strangely enough, it's often an overlooked thing. I mean, do you spend every day, a bit of time every day at the beginning of it, asking the Lord to come and empower you afresh with his Holy Spirit? It can be overlooked, can't it? Personally, I find trying to live the Christian life in my own strength an impossibility, especially if I want to try and live it how Jesus envisaged it being lived. I need a daily infilling of the Spirit of God just to live the Christian life. Like the pilot light on our gas central heating system at home. You know, you always need to have it on, don't you? You don't want that to go out. And in the same way, we need that kind of infilling of the Holy Spirit just to keep us ticking over with Jesus. We need that. That's why the book of Ephesians tells us to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. But there's more. Oh, yes. There's more. You see, in a garden, sometimes it's okay just to take secateurs and poodle around deadheading roses. And at other times, you need to do the lawn. And maybe it's a big one, and maybe you do need a sit-on mower. And that's the kind of power that's being referred to here. World-transforming power, like dynamite. It transformed those disciples from hiding behind closed doors out of fear to standing in the marketplace, openly declaring the wonders of God as God's kingdom blasted out into the world. You might say, yes, but I'm not someone who's used to speaking to hundreds of people. Well, actually, at the time, nor were they. You might say, I'm not a preacher. I want to tell you this morning, you don't need to be a preacher. You don't need to be a minister. You don't have to work for a church. All you need to be is an ambassador for Christ in the place where he has put you. That's all. To be an ambassador for Christ, a witness to Christ in the place where he's put you. To be his witness there. And let me tell you, the Lord wants to empower you because the fields are ready for harvest. And if you're willing, believe me, he is able. Do you know the feeling when you sign up for something? So maybe you go to, it happened to me getting my tyres fixed at Quick Fit. I went to Quick Fit and got my tyres fixed. They took my telephone. They always take your telephone number and your email and stuff. Then you kind of think nothing more about it. And then 4 days later, you get a phone call. And it's from an insurance company who's linked to them because they think you might want their product to help you. Do you know those sort of phone calls? They're either kind of unavailable or they're 0800 sort of numbers, anonymous. They come on your telephone, usually when you least want it or when it's least appropriate for you. Telesales. Well, you better get ready because here comes one. Can you pick up? It's a phone. Would you pick up? Do you have mobile phones on you? Pick up. Okay, here we go. Good morning. This is the Archangel Bobriel from heaven. We're contacting you because you registered as a Christian. Is that correct?
Yes.
You also ticked the box saying that you would like to be contacted by us and kept informed on all our products. Do you still want to hear from God?
Yes.
Okay. I believe that one of our local representatives spoke to you last week about the priorities of Jesus, our founder, about having a heart for those who don't yet know him, and being willing to get involved in sharing the good news. Is that still your desire?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'd like to tell you about one of our products that may be of use to you. I can see from our records that you might be finding the whole area of witnessing and sharing your faith a bit daunting. Looking through my notes, I think it was something about being worried about how silly or annoying you may look to others if you start talking about Jesus. Oh yes, and that's right. Not feeling that you're good enough or well trained enough. I quote, anyway, even if I did, it may not work and they may not become Christians. There was also concern raised that witnessing at work may be frowned on. Can I say, actually, this has been a concern raised, well, actually, by our first few members. They felt that witnessing may lead to a premature death. That was until they took out this product. Which is exactly why I'm phoning you today. This product we have available is the power of the Holy Spirit. It deals with all that, and he will give you the tools that you need to get the job done. I'm sorry, no cost, no, there will be no extra cost. It's a free gift. You just need to order it via our prayer line.
Then, of course, you'll need to activate it.
What do I mean by activate it? How? Well, you activate it by taking a risk of faith. You activate it by taking a risk of faith. You see, there's a development of faith in our Christian lives, isn't there? There's the saving faith when we first believe, followed by a lifelong journey of faith, where from time to time we step out in faith and take risks of faith for the kingdom of God. You remember, faith is spelt R-I-S-K. And the problem is, my friends, that we can live our Christian lives without ever taking any risks of faith in our normal day-to-day lives, Monday to Saturday. We're content to just coast along, so often, in our comfort zone, on spiritual pilot light. We're soundly saved. That's not in dispute. But we never really encounter that dynamic, world-changing power of God at work in our lives. We don't need that. We don't need that kind of power because we're not really intending to do that kind of a job. But it's a gift of God. And it's on offer. So, does God want to empower you? Yes. Is there a need to witness today in the world around you? Yes. Does God want to use little old you? Yes. How do you get empowered? By saying yes. Yes to the purposes of God in our lives. Yes to taking risks for Him. Yes to being His witness in the place where He has put you. That's what the gang getting baptized this morning was saying to Jesus. They were saying, yes! Yes! Here we are, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Send me! Yes! That's them. My friends, how about us? How about you? And how about me? Will you say yes to God this morning? If so, maybe there is a personal Pentecost waiting for you around the corner. And it's not about what you haven't done in the past and feeling guilty. That's not what this is about. It's about being challenged and getting excited about the present and the new things that God wants to do in and through every one of us. So it comes down to this. Are you prepared to say yes to the job in hand? Yes to taking risks of faith. Yes to the empowering of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Yes to standing up for Jesus. If that's you, why don't you stand up now? Because if you can't do it in church, you ain't going to do it in the world. You don't have to stand up, but if you want to stand up, then stand up right now, and it will be my privilege to pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that you're not looking for training or professionalism, for experience, for giftedness, for talents. Lord, thank you this morning that you're just looking for yes. For those who would say, Lord Jesus, here I am, I can come no other way, but such as I am, I give to you, and I say yes.
Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you might come and empower us, that our lives may be transformed with a fresh revelation of your living presence in our own lives, and that from that we might radiate your transforming power to those around us. This we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.